May I ask you please to turn with me to John's Gospel and chapter 3. John's Gospel and chapter 3. We are looking at the man Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3. And just allow me to review, so therefore you can see where we have been. We are looking at this gentleman. We have seen his name. He has a Greek name. We have seen his job. And a brief outline of who he was religiously as a Pharisee. Having done that, we move forward to look at his first statement in John chapter 3 verse 2. When he said to the Lord Jesus, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, his words, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things or signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him. And here the Lord Jesus then, we find a time when he came to the Lord Jesus. It was at night, we do not know why. The language he used, the conviction he expressed. So here then is this leader. We may even say this outstanding Pharisee. Paying the Lord Jesus a visit at night. So the man himself, his first statement, now having spoken to the Lord Jesus, we find for the first time our Lord's answer, our Lord's first answer to his question. And our Lord's first answer is found in verse 3. Look at how it is put to us. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, all we are going to see tonight are simply two things. One, Jesus' solemn reply, and two, that solemn reply applied. Jesus' solemn reply, and that solemn reply applied. Look at the solemn reply Jesus gave when the Lord Jesus, having listened to him, said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless a man is born again. In the Lord's reply, or the Lord's reply is stronger than what our translation gives us here. Verse 3 says, most assuredly. That's a good translation. But the Lord is not dealing with that in this way. The Lord is making rather a solemn declaration. And in the original language, it is very simply, amen, amen, I say to you. That must have frightened him. And that way of speaking, John used it at least 27 times in his gospel. Generally, we use the word amen at the conclusion of a prayer. That's not necessarily wrong. But here the Lord is using it as a solemn declaration. Amen, amen. Now, why did the Lord do it this way? That's the question that baffles the mind. Because the gentleman doesn't seem to be solemn in his statement. Why is the Lord so solemn, so serious in answering him in this way?
Because of the nature of the subject the Lord Jesus is going to deal with. And the subject itself, he brings it forward to the very front of his answer. Look at the subject he's going to deal with in verse 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is he saying? I solemnly declare to you, Nicodemus, if I must paraphrase, without you being born again or born anew, you can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. But what does it mean to be born again? It's not as easy as we think. Because the same word is used again. Look at the language of verse 31. Look at verse 31, where the same word born again is used. It's not from the Lord Jesus, but from the writer. He says this in chapter 3, verse 31. He who comes from above. That's the same word translated above, is above all. Another example of the same word is found, look at chapter 19. Let me give you another example of chapter 19. Look at chapter 19, where the same word is found. I won't weary you with many examples, but that's necessary to see how difficult it is when we have to handle the word of God carefully. Look at the word is used here again in chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you. Here is our word, from above. The same word. Why is it translated then from above? And here in John 3 again. It may be to give us an insight into the language that Jesus is using to present to Nicodemus the true meaning of what it means to be a child of God. He's saying, sir, in the midst of all your religion, in the midst of all your trappings, in the midst of all your traditions, in the midst of all that you have, unless you are born from the top, all that you have has been dug up from your tradition, from your history, from your background. But that is utterly useless. To enter the kingdom of God, you need to be born from the top. Nicodemus was baffled. And Jesus repeated himself. Look at verse 7 of John 3. Again, do not marvel, do not be surprised that I say to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus did not understand the language of Jesus. He was absolutely thrown off. His mind was too small, too meager for this great concept. Then he retaliated, he reacted. in surprise, in amazement, in astonishment. In verse 4, he said to the Lord Jesus this, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't have the faintest idea. And he reverted back to natural birth. And then he's saying to the Lord, what you are saying is absolutely, totally impossible. No one can go back into his or her mother's womb and then be born again. This is absurd. But the Lord Jesus is not talking about natural birth. He's talking about supernatural birth. See that? Not natural birth. Supernatural birth. And Jesus used the word birth solemnly, deliberately, to teach Nicodemus certain truths that he needed to know. Then why? We need to ask. Let me give you some of the reasons I have here. Because when a baby is born, what happens? A new life begins, isn't it? All right. But that baby, is the baby a continuation of its mother? We say no. Is the baby an extension of its mother? We say no. Because the baby has its own individuality, its own personality. The baby has its own identity. The baby is distinct from his or her mother. See? So therefore, the Lord is teaching Nicodemus that to be born again, he or she, and in particular Nicodemus himself, what he needs is a new creation, a radical supernatural change, where all things are passed away and all things become new. That new life is so radical, so complete and so total, that the Lord brings in a new language, as it were, to show Nicodemus what he really needs. Because the man had grown and wrapped himself with all the Pharisaic doctrine and religion and traditions and so on and so forth. The Lord is saying, sir, what you need is a birth from above. What you need is a birth from the top. What you need is a birth from God. And that birth, it's thoroughly supernatural, spiritual. And let me show you who brings about this birth. Not your religion, not your tradition, not your fasting, not your going to temple, not your going to synagogue, not this, not that, not the other, not your connection with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. No. You have this already. You are a Jew. You have this already. It's in your bloodstream. You were born one. You are one. Your whole job is one. That's not what you need. What you need is a supernatural incursion of God the Holy Spirit upon your mind, upon your heart, upon your soul to be a child of God. And look at how the word is used again in verse 8. Look at what Jesus says to Nicodemus to show who is responsible. He says this, "The wind blows where it wishes." How do we know when the wind blows? "And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. Can you, Nicodemus?" Then he said, "Look, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The work of God, the Holy Spirit, Nicodemus, to give you life in your soul is supernatural, is mysterious. The gentleman was not expecting that kind of theological instruction, that practical instruction of what is a child of God. He came with all the baggage of history, of tradition, and then, immersed in that, he thought that was enough to take him into heaven. And Jesus just dismantled his idea with this new language. "Nicodemus, sir, if you are to enter heaven, the change must come from above." The Holy Spirit of God, the third person in the Trinity, must remove your stony heart and give you, sir, a heart of flesh. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free. That was the language of Charles Wesley. He longed for it. And when a little group of them gathered, they were missionaries. They came back to UK. They were gathered there, not very far from St. Paul's. And as someone was reading either the preface or part of Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians, John's heart was strangely warm. See that? The Holy Spirit moving and bless the reading of Luther's sermon to the salvation of Mr. Wesley. Definitely, effectively, powerfully, savingly. So that is Jesus' solemn reply. Okay? I know I haven't done it justice, however difficult the language is, but at least I trust you have a brief understanding of what born again means and the use of the word. Okay, that is our first point, Jesus' solemn reply. And our second point is Jesus' solemn reply applied. How then are we to apply this to ourselves? We have the language. We say to people, "You must be born again." That's not wrong. That's wonderful. That's Bible language. But if they turn to us and say, "What on earth are you talking about?" I don't think perhaps many of us will be able to answer their question. So this is where the application for us is crucial. And I have 5 application in that area by giving you illustrations in terms of that will help us. I won't belong with them. I'll just introduce them in this way, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, and so on. So that will help us. Let us take the first. Ladies and gentlemen, and you young people who are with us, listen carefully. No amount of religion, no amount of religious training, no amount of church going can bring about this radical spiritual change. Only God can. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can. When He comes and He removes our hearts of stone, dead in trespasses and in sins, the Bible tells us. As far as God is concerned and His things, we are dead. It is the Holy Spirit, if I may use the language, who brings about the resurrection of the soul. And no amount of religious activity can bring it about. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, young people, listen carefully. No amount of hereditary privileges, no amount of membership in a church, no amount of religious activity can bring about this radical spiritual change. If we are to be born again, it takes God, the Holy Spirit, to bring about this saving change. He alone can enlighten our understanding. He alone can give us faith. He alone can give us deep and thorough repentance, remorse for our sins as we cry unto God, Jesus, Savior, have mercy on me. When a person prays like this, cries like this, and he or she forsakes his sin and run to Jesus for shelter, for mercy, for life, then that person, by the grace of God, by the goodness of God, by the saving act of the Holy Spirit, is brought from darkness into light, from under Satan's power to be under God's power. And a person walks with God, walks with God, walks with God for the rest of his or her life. Thirdly, ladies and gentlemen and young people, we are not made children of God by our parents or church. We do not become children of God by good works, as Nicodemus and his colleagues thought. We become what we were not. We become children of God by the Holy Spirit. But how do we know that? When we turn from our sin, when we repudiate our sin, when we tread on our sin, when we strangle our sin, when we castrate our sin, when we hate our sin, when we run away from our sin, we run and we embrace Jesus. These are the activities of a soul renewed, given new ability to run and embrace the Lord Jesus, who offers himself freely to us in the gospel. It is very interesting. Before the gospel ends, we find Nicodemus a true believer. But it's not our purpose to look into this tonight. Here is the fourth. Ladies and gentlemen, young persons, I want you to listen carefully. A person does not become a Christian because he or she doesn't eat this or drink this, doesn't go there or not go there. It's not by winning a prize, it's not by having a reward. It is totally, exclusively, only supernaturally by the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul. And that's where evangelicals have made fundamental mistakes, by attributing it to our subjectivism. Only the Holy Spirit can open our eyes, open the eyes of our souls, open our understanding, give us new heart. A new heart I will give them, a new spirit I will put in them. Then they will know me, then they will call on me, then they shall know if they follow on to know the Lord. Jesus was not dealing with a schoolboy. Jesus was dealing with a professor. And he did not have the ability to understand the mystery of the work of the Spirit. He could not understand. He did not understand. As he listened, as the conversation went on, Jesus opened the subject. By the time we come to the end of the gospel, we find him already defending Jesus in the parliament of the Jews. We find him already with his colleague going to Pilate with their animals laden with perfume. And when Pilate looked out, he saw camels or donkeys laden with perfume and all the spices. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea buried the Lord Jesus, the King of the Jews, the King of his people, in a kingly fashion, as King Asa was buried in the Old Testament. What had happened? He came to see. His understanding was enlightened. His mind was enlightened. He believed and he was saved. Let me give you the last one. Ladies and gentlemen, young people, listen carefully. To be born again is not what we can do for ourselves. It's what happens to us. To be born again is a divine, supernatural, spiritual activity of God, the Holy Spirit, upon our minds, upon our hearts, upon our souls. Once I was blind, I could not see. Why am I seeing now? Because the saving light of the Spirit has flooded the soul. He has given floodlight, saving floodlight. Now I see. This is why Jesus is called the light of the world. So here, the light of the world was shining in the darkness as the two gentlemen in conference, in discussion, in conversation, in conversation, and Jesus is unpacking theology, practical theology, practical teaching of the Bible, because it was all in the Old Testament. A new heart I will give, a new spirit I will give. I will wash them, I will cleanse them. They interpreted that all ceremonially, but they did not see. It was an illustration, or they were illustrations of what the Holy Spirit was going to do. From that day to this, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl who has been converted, who is being converted, who will be converted, this is the office and work of the Holy Spirit. This is his department, to give life to our dead souls. And when the life is given, we will know it. Others will see it, and God will be glorified by it. My friends, this is as far as I have understood it. And without being born again, you may be a member of a church, you may be highly religious like Nicodemus and many others. Until the eyes of the soul are open, we are in pitch darkness. And so I say to you who are believers, do not give people sentimental idea about being born again. Sentimental idea about being a Christian. Stick to your Bible. And when we have done our very best, we cannot convert them. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can do that. But when he does it, it is done. He knows it. People see it in his life, in her conduct. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. This, my friends, is as far I can go this night in explaining to you what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus about these two little words, born and again, or born again. Let us pray. Almighty God, sin has so affected us, our minds, our hearts, our souls, that we cannot understand savingly as we should. But you have promised the Holy Spirit to be given to us. O Lord, the Holy Spirit, open our minds and open our hearts to understand. And as we speak to our families, our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors, wherever you have placed us, whatever opportunity you give to us, help us to stick very closely to your word. And then to depend upon you, the Lord, the Spirit, the giver of life. That people will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. So what is written may be theirs. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed the young person, blessed the boy, blessed the girl who trusts in him. Hear us, O Lord our God, and have mercy for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.